and you're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. This is podcast 807. We had a great guest on, if you will, Andrea Hertzberg, who talked about sharing care. She had the Share Connect Cancer, sharecancersupport.org helpline, and the Share Helpline for ovarian cancer. But this is podcast 808, and the guest today, Dr. Amy Myers, superb doctor, who's going to talk to us about the thyroid connection, why you feel tired, brain fogged, and overweight, and how to get your life back. We'll also talk to her about one of last week's big issues, which is the increased risk of dying suddenly if you're taking thyroxine, and what to do about the abnormal heartbeats associated with thyroxine administration and atrial fibrillation. I assume it goes to more serious arrhythmias. Maybe we can find out from Amy just what is happening with those sudden deaths, because I couldn't find it from that article that reported it. But the FDA this week approved a biosimilar version. What is a biosimilar version? Well, for drugs, we have to have exact duplicates, and they're made chemically, so there's no problem in getting the exact duplicates. But in bioactive compounds, where they aren't chemical compounds made similar, generic drugs have never been approved. So, if you will, it's very tough because they're genetically engineered, and there are always going to be little differences with the bacteria, even though the active component may be the same. But there now is a biosimilar version of a specific drug, and it may bring down drug prices tremendously if this gets approved. But let's go immediately to the top stories of the week this week. And a lot of them involve sugar, if you will. That's right. So we're going to talk about the happiest states in America. That's our Well Beyond Wellness. Another Well Beyond Wellness is what happens when men get prostate cancer. What are the differences? Wellness foreplay, the hunger in our heads. That's right. You need to play after you've been doing a lot of intellectual activity to avoid getting obese. We'll talk about why. What happens when you go without sugar for 8 or 10 days? And then the automakers, how the sugar industry shifted the blame to fat. Should it have shifted the blame to fat? Well, it turns out saturated fat and trans fat are problems, but sugar is a major problem. And we're going to talk about the why do we tan in private. Let's get right to it. Oh, and my fun thing for the week? The 5-second rule. What happens when you pick up food in under 5 seconds? Does it still have bad stuff with it? The happiest states in America. This is podcast, by the way, 808 for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. I'm Dr. Mike Roizen, bringing you the latest news so you can take control of your and your family's health, plus top guests like Dr. Amy Myers, who'll be here today, and next week's top guest, another superstar. Yes, we're going to talk about another superstar topic next week, but for this week, it is Dr. Amy Myers. Amy is a pro in thyroid disease, and she'll be talking to us about thyroid disease and its problems and benefits, if you will. The benefits of being able to get expert care for it and what you're to do with it. I always like to talk about our guest for next week as well, and we'll do that coming up. But first, let's talk about the news of the week on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. The happiest states in America, with research providing that, if you will, money can't buy happiness, except you need to have over $75,000 as a family income. But $75,000, obviously, in San Francisco is different than $75,000 in rural Idaho or in even in Cleveland. So $75,000 adjusted to the home prices is a major thing, but that's the level that Fidelity found was key to happiness. Once you got $75,000, then it is other things that make you happy. So this is Wallet Hub's analysis of the happiest states, looking at 28 metrics. The happiest state, Utah, Minnesota, North Dakota, Hawaii, Colorado, Idaho, Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota, and California were the 10 happiest states in America. Hawaii, the lowest depression rates, 10.7%. Oregon, by contrast, the highest at 24%. District of Columbia, lowest number of suicides. You'd think people in government would do more of that, but 7.8 residents. Montana, which is a relatively happy state, but has 23.9. North Dakota, when this was taking, has the lowest long-term unemployment rate, if you will. That is, the people who suffer long-term unemployment once they're unemployed, 13.1%, as opposed to the District of Columbia. Once you're unemployed, you tend to be unemployed for more than 6 months in the District of Columbia, 49.2%. What state the lowest risk of heart attacks? That's right, Utah. Utah also has the highest volunteerism rate and the lowest divorce rate. Those are key things in being a happy state, but you can make yourself happy by one of the things that's key is when you're exercising, watching humor. And we'll talk about that next week. That's one of the top stories, just came out, so I'm going to put it in next week's top story about exercising while watching humor or laughing makes you very, very much more likely to complete the exercise and also and enjoy it more too, and also get younger with it. The other big stories this week. Do you know that 27% of us between the ages of 65 and 74 and, if you will, 35% of us who are aged over 75 did less than 10 minutes of walking any one day of the week? Let me repeat that. It's 27% of us over the age of 65, between 65 and 74, and 35% of us over the age of 75, and it's even pretty close, it's 25% of us from between 50 and 64 do less than 10 minutes of walking a day. If you know someone who does that, go and call them, be a buddy, call them and say, let's walk, and walk at a slow pace for them, stop whenever they need to, but try and get them to buy a couple pedometers and then do a few more steps every day until they're getting up to 10,000 steps a day. You too, 10,000 steps a day. My favorite story of this week, which I've called the Wellness Foreplay, that is with the number four, foreplay story on this podcast, 808 of You, the Owner's Manual radio show, where you get to take control. This is after you've done a bunch of intellectual activity, do 10 minutes of walking or 10 minutes of bicycling or 10 minutes of sit-ups or something physical. Because it turns out that in these college students where they studied it, and they looked at their brain function after they had done a period of intense studying, their brains used up the extra glucose in their brains. So in order to get more active, in order to get more intellectual capability, their brains wanted to eat more sugar. What happened? Well, when they did physical activity instead of going right to eat, that is, after they completed studying for a test or something, they did 10 minutes of walking or 10 minutes of, if you will, aerobic exercise or 10 minutes of running or 10 minutes of bicycling or 10 minutes of push-ups and sit-ups and other things combined or a few minutes of jumping jacks, it turns that the brain sensed they were making sugar, their liver had gotten turned on, and they weren't going to overeat. On the other hand, if you immediately after studying or after working on something intellectual or after concentrating on a game, an intellectual game, if you don't do exercise, you overeat and got fast. And the reason it was thought was that your brain was short of sugar and so it wanted some. But if you did physical activity, the rest of your body caused your muscles and your liver to produce and want more energy, so your liver produced more sugar and started by turning on the sugar by consuming your own fat and converting sugar and protein and its own sugar stores, glycogen, into sugar, so that your brain then didn't feel short of sugar. And so the exercise, if you will, was a double benefit. Your brain used the sugar and used calories, and your body regenerated it and then got thinner by doing a little exercise after the intellectual activity. You know, doing this radio show, this podcast, you, the Owner's Manual radio show, and you can email us questions. I'm going to tweet the guests before they occur. You can ask me get questions for them since we aren't live anymore. But you, the Owner's Manual radio show podcast, release at 7 a.m. every Tuesday, a new one. This is number 808. And we will release it as soon as it's produced in good form on Tuesday morning. And when that happens, you'll be able to get it. But in advance of the show, I'll tell you on this show and I'll tweet who is the guest for next time. And you'll be able to then understand both the guest and organize for the guest, and if you will, that will let you ask questions to me about the guest for next week. This week's guest coming up just shortly, and by the way, you can't ask me questions now because unfortunately I won't get to the questions since this is a pre-recorded podcast. But this week's guest, Dr. Amy Myers, author of The Thyroid Connection, Why You Feel Tired, Brain Fogged, and Overweight, and How to Get Your Life Back, by, again, Dr. Amy Myers, one of my favorite docs, a superb physician who also will talk to us about why and the risks of thyroid disease and the risks of treating thyroid disease and what you have to do to decrease those risks. And that's with Dr. Amy Myers coming up shortly. The next week guest will be Dr. Michael Bruce. He's on 809. Michael Bruce is Discover Your Chronotrope. That is, what's the best time to eat lunch? What's the best time to ask for a raise, to have sex, write a novel, take your meds, and more? Dr. Michael Bruce, B-R-E-U-S, the sleep doctor. Well, he's also come up with another way of using sleep. Discover Your Chronotrope, The Power of When, is the book, The Power of When. It's a great, wonderful book, The Power of When, Discover Your Chronotrope. That's by Michael Bruce. Other stories this week. So what happens when you go without sugar for 10 days? This is a really interesting study. After 10 days of these 43 subjects, they had decreased triglyceride levels by 33 points. That's a wonderful thing. Decreased their average LDL, that's their bad cholesterol, by 5 points. That's important, not as key as triglycerides, but they also decreased their blood pressure as well. And they didn't seek as much sugar. So in just 10 days, takes longer than that. You want to substitute with something else like healthy nuts. And that's why we call that the Automega section, because shifting from sugar to fat is a good thing. Now, that's brings up a fun, but a problem. The sugar industry shifted the blame to fat. That's right, the sugar industry paid scientists in the 1960s. Harvard scientists accepted it, not even a lot of money, $50,000 in today's, to publish a 1967 review on sugar, fat, and heart disease. Now, would that happen today? Not as likely, because you have to disclose your conflicts of interest for medical journals, which apparently you didn't have to do in the 1960s. Why do I bring that up? Well, the milk industry does a lot of support to show how good milk is. You got to take studies supported by the industry with a little less grain of salt until they're repeated by others, a different group. Even if they're supported by the same industry, like the milk industry, you want them, if you will, to duplicate it with a different group of scientists. Well, this article on the sugar industry shifting the blame to fat, there is some good news about that. That is, Automegas, the omega-9 olive oil, omega-3 canola oil, flaxseed, avocados, and omega-3 DHA, the fish food, but look for the DHA, are all healthy fats that get you healthier. My favorite story this week, the five-second rule. What happens when you wait 5 seconds to pick up food, or it takes you 5 seconds to pick up some spilled food? It gets contaminated. And in fact, the more liquid in the food, the more, if you will, food is moist, the more bacteria it picks up, the more hazardous it is to you. So the point is, on this story, don't pick up food. Even 5 second rule doesn't work. We're at podcast 808 of You, the Owner's Manual radio show, and coming up in just a few seconds is Dr. Amy Myers. Dr. Myers wrote The Thyroid Connection, Why You Feel Tired, Brain Fogged, and Overweight, and How to Get Your Life Back. Dr. Myers is a specialist in thyroid and autoimmune disease, graduated cum laude, which is as high as it gets, from Honors College at the University of South Carolina, earned her medical degree at Louisiana State University. She completed a residency in emergency medicine at the University of Maryland and now is trained in functional medicine as well. She's completed a book called The Myers Way and multiple interactive ebooks and e-courses to guide readers through her revolutionary approach to health. She knows an awful lot about thyroid disease. We're going to try and pick her brain in a few minutes about thyroid disease. Let's review the stories from podcast 807 as well. Actually, I'm going to tease 809. 809, next week's podcast, we're going to talk about, are there too many antibiotics in your fast food, meat, and in hospitals? And we'll talk about the wellness foreplay. That is, what is the best thing to prevent bone fractures, hip fractures, and spine fractures in you? Happy holidays. Are pumpkin spice lattes really bad for you? That's the wellness four with the number four play. And the Automegas, the women's health issue no one talks about. Our guest, again, Dr. Michael Bruce, next week, will be talking about the power of when. Discover your conotrope, when's the best time to eat lunch, have sex, and a whole bunch of other things, even asking for a raise. Last week, with podcast 807, you can get a great interview we did, and she was just wonderful. Andrea Hertzberg talked about the Ovarian Cancer Share Network, Share Cancer Support Group. And that support group, it's called the ShareCancerSupport.org, and their helpline. Coming up in a few seconds, Dr. Amy Myers will be right back with Dr. Myers on You, the Owner's Manual radio show, podcast on Radio MD, iHeartRadio. You can get us every week, 7 a.m. every Tuesday, with the top stories that let you take control of your health. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Mike Roizen with You, the Owner's Manual radio podcast, now twice. Every Tuesday, you can get us at 7 a.m. This is podcast 808. And as I mentioned, we have a great guest today, Amy Myers. Amy is the author of The Autoimmune Solution, a New York Times bestseller, and this book, which is wonderful, called The Thyroid Connection, Why You Feel Tired, Brain Fogged, and Overweight, and How to Get Your Life Back. Amy has broadened the role, going from regular doc and to functional medicine specialist. We'll talk to her about those differences too, but let's first talk about how common is thyroid disease. Amy Myers, I talked before you got on about your background, so forgive me for not telling that you were an honors graduate again from the University of South Carolina, earned your medical degree at Louisiana State University, and after completing emergency medicine residency at the University of Maryland, you're now a skilled autoimmune practitioner. And by that I mean you specialize in autoimmune disease. And so let's go right into thyroid disease. Is it an autoimmune disease?
Well, good morning. Yes, most thyroid dysfunction is autoimmune in nature. People probably are most familiar with something called Hashimoto's, which is an autoimmune attack of the thyroid causing inflammation and ultimately the thyroid sort of burn out and become underactive. I myself had something called Graves' disease, which is where the thyroid is overactive. The mechanism's a little bit different, where the immune system is sort of attacking the receptors signaling the thyroid gland to continue to produce thyroid hormone. But most thyroid hormone is underactive thyroid, and most of that is Hashimoto's in nature, but we can get into it about why many people don't even know that they have autoimmunity in the first place.
Well, let's get into how common is thyroid disease and why is it getting so much more, it seems to be so much more common than it was even 30 years ago. What's the reason for this?
Well, I think that that's a multi-million dollar question and everybody would like to know. But the statistics are that about 27 million Americans have some sort of thyroid dysfunction. That could be underactive, overactive, thyroid cancer, thyroid cysts, thyroid nodules, of course, which the book goes in detail about each of those scenarios. And it's believed that about 60% of the people who actually have some sort of thyroid dysfunction don't even know they have it. And we can get into how conventional medicine tests versus how I test being a functional medicine physician. I think that the rise is, with all chronic conditions, and I know you've had others on talking about various different chronic conditions, our genetics really haven't changed in the last 50 years, but what's really changed is our environment. And specific to the thyroid, besides the other factors that I think are contributing to much of chronic disease, like our, Western diets and our leaky guts and toxins, stress, and infections, I really think with the thyroid particularly, it's very susceptible to particular toxins, particularly ones called their halogens on the periodic table, which is where iodine sits. And once they've changed to a negative ion, they're called a halide, and that's bromide, fluoride, and chloride. And these are really found ubiquitously in our environment. We have bromides in all of our baked goods now. We, of course, have fluoride and chloride in our water. But we also have a lot of these bromides and flame retardants that are in our clothes and our furniture and our mattresses. And so our Western diet, we've taken the iodine out of the salt. We're not eating a lot of sea vegetables like seaweed or even seafood these days. And so we as a population are not getting the same amount of iodine that we used to get. And then add on top of that, that we're being bombarded all the time with these other halides that displace iodine in the body. And our thyroid has the most iodine of any organ in our body, and we need it to make the hormone. So besides the other reasons that I mentioned, particularly to the thyroid, I really feel like this is one of the biggest reasons that we're seeing a disruption in thyroid hormones, in addition to, you know, all the endocrine disruptors in beauty products and household cleaning products and plastics that we're using. But those are the two biggest regarding the thyroid in particular.
Now, the fact that, now, we should state, and I think I know that this is in your book and read it there, but there's a lot more common thyroid disease in women than men, which probably suggests to me that maybe it relates to, as you put, some of the endocrine disruptors in our cosmetics and other things that women get more than men? Or is it just an increased vulnerability of women, or just a more sensitivity, or less of a reserve in women? What do you think?
Well, I think that that's another multi-million dollar question. Autoimmunity and thyroid are both more common in women than men, and some of the hypotheses have been surrounding hormonal components, particularly estrogen. And often thyroid dysfunction comes out in women in autoimmunity around the time of childbirth, particularly postpartum, around times of perimenopause and menopause, which is really leading researchers to believe that these shifts in estrogen, particularly big shifts in estrogen, play a role. And that would certainly go along with these endocrine disruptors in cosmetics and plastics, because what they do is they mimic estrogen in women. And when and our body can't distinguish our own estrogens from these things called xenobiotics that look like estrogens. And when we have higher estrogens, our body binds more thyroid hormones. So it's these free hormones that get into the receptors and keep our body, you know, running and our mind working and our mood normal and our weight stable. And when we have the thyroid hormone bound to a protein, it's less able to do that job. It's more considered a storage form. So it's one of the reasons why a woman who already has thyroid dysfunction, if she gets pregnant or goes on the birth control pill, will need to increase the dose of her thyroid medication or supplemental hormone, because those estrogens have gone up in her body and caused her to bind more of that thyroid hormone.
Now, women are, as I understand it, and I think I read this in the book, three times more likely to get thyroid dysfunction than men, and about whatever it is, 8% of all in America, or 9 million, I think it was, you cite, have thyroid dysfunction. How much of that is low? You had Graves' disease, which is an overactive thyroid. Most of it is hypothyroidism. I guess if autoimmune disease causes a burnout like Hashimoto's, but how much is low versus high?
You know, I don't know that we have a specific statistic on that, but I would say that it's probably, you know, 3 to 1, or perhaps more like 5 to 1. And yes, women are 5 to 8 times more likely to have a thyroid problem than men. And 1 in 8 women in their lifetime will develop thyroid dysfunction of some sort. So, and it is much more common for it to be an underactive than an overactive. I mean, you know, with that statistic, 1 in 8 women, there are very few people that I meet that don't know somebody with some sort of thyroid dysfunction.
Now, why does the thyroid, you list on the title, so, and by the way, this is a wonderful book. It's Amy Myers, M-Y-E-R-S, The Thyroid Connection, Why You Feel Tired, Brain Fogged, and Overweight, and How to Get Your Life Back. So when women often go through menopause, they say that they are starting to feel brain fogged and they gain weight. Does that relate to their thyroid at this time?
You're asking just all the best questions that, you know, we don't 100% have the answers to. For some women, It's truly just a decrease in their estrogen levels. And for other women, again, because, you know, we like to think of, you know, I mean, we're both physicians in medical school. They train us that, you know, it's sort of, you know, you learn about the thyroid one day and you learn about the digestion one day, and then you're learning about the adrenal glands another. And then nobody has like, okay, well, now let's put it all together. So we often are talking about and thinking about these hormones in isolation rather than all together. I like to tell people it's like the web. When you and I are surfing the web, you're not just going to one site. There are all of these signals going out all over the place and bouncing left and right. And that's really what's happening in our body with any signal or hormone. It's not just the thyroid talking to one cell. It's the thyroid talking to your, you know, female hormones or male hormones. It's talking to your adrenal glands, talking to your brain and your pituitary, talking to even your blood sugar hormones are all in concert with one another. So, so when it comes to menopause, it can be very difficult. And that is why, in general, when I mentioned that statistic of 27 million Americans with thyroid dysfunction and 60% don't know it, one of the biggest failures often of conventional medicine is because many of the symptoms of thyroid can easily be brushed off as something else. That perfect example, the woman in menopause, oh, that's just menopause. You've gained weight. You have brain fog. Of course, your, you know, estrogens are low. That's what that is. It's not your thyroid. Or the postpartum woman, of course, you're tired. Your hair is falling out. You haven't lost your baby weight yet because you're a new mom and you're not sleeping. So often many of the symptoms of thyroid can easily be explained by another period in life or other diagnoses. And so sometimes conventional doctors or doctors in general won't even check because they have an easy explanation of how it could be something else. And, you know, I again, just think that that's one of the biggest failures because, you know, it could just be menopause. It could be thyroid, or it could actually be the both, because again, how these estrogens and thyroid hormones are so intertwined and how they're constantly talking to one another. So it's important, of course, to get all the proper tests that I, of course, write about in the book, The Thyroid Connection.
Now, Amy, in The Thyroid Connection, which goes over all concepts, all the permutations and variations in thyroid disease, so we should tell people how wonderful a book it is, because it is. But one of the things that I like to say, and let me find your opinion on it, and I think I know it from the book, but let me find, is anytime we're doing something for more than 3 days, in other words, anytime I prescribe a medicine or do something that's an intervention that will change you for more than 3 days, obviously every operation or every procedure does, that I think you should get a second opinion as soon as you can before you get the procedure, and as soon as you can after starting those medications. Part of that relates to thyroid disease too, Amy, because as you say, you can have normal laboratory tests but still be hypothyroid. How is that?
Yes. So what the test that most physicians are checking, particularly in conventional medicine, is a screening test called the TSH. And that's a thyroid stimulating hormone. And what most people don't understand is that's actually checking how your pituitary is signaling to your thyroid. It's actually not telling about the thyroid per se. What we really want to know about is either a free T4 or a free T3 or both, as well as antibodies to know if it's autoimmune in nature. We were discussing that at the beginning of the show, and even something called a reverse T3 to see if you have more of the gas or the brake. And the importance of all of these is that, particularly with the free T3, it's really telling us about the free hormone. I mentioned if it's bound, you can't do anything with it. And it's that free hormone that goes into our cells and keeps us warm. So one of the ways, there's two ways that people can really have thyroid dysfunction and it be missed by a physician. Well, three ways. One is that they don't even check. The other way is that when they check, they're checking only with the TSH. And when they came up with the reference range for that laboratory, they took a bunch of people and did blood work on them, only later to realize many of the people that they used to come up with this reference range of a normal reference range actually had thyroid dysfunction. They were actually hypothyroid. So there are many, many people, including the Academy of Endocrinology, that have actually recommended that we narrow this reference range. It's way too broad. So I tell people there's normal and then there's optimal. And I, of course, discuss what optimal is in the book and what levels you should shoot for. The other way that it can be missed on blood work is that they're just really using these too broad of a reference range. And then the third is that they're only checking that TSH. They're not checking the free T4, the free T3, the reverse T3, and then, of course, the thyroid antibodies, because you do want to know if you have Hashimoto's. Graves is a bit easier to pick up, but you do want to know if you have that, because once you have one autoimmune condition, you're three times more likely to get another, and the stakes are really much higher for you at that point. And so you really do want to know that information. In conventional medicine, their thought is they just put you on Synthroid, and it really doesn't matter whether it's autoimmune, whether it's just low thyroid or Hashimoto's, because the treatment is the same. And I would argue very differently, that there are things that we can do to get those antibodies lower. There are studies coming out just last month about higher risk of anxiety just by having thyroid antibodies, not by even having any actual thyroid dysfunction, but just the antibodies themselves. Maybe the cytokines creating inflammation in the brain, creating the anxiety. We know for women with fertility issues, it can lead to a higher risk of miscarriage or infertility just by having these antibodies, not by actually having any true dysfunction in the thyroid, but just having the antibodies. So you do want to know that information.
And now, when you say you do want to know that information, tell us about what you do to decrease the antibodies. One, the antibodies are a test that one does, just like you would test, if you will, get a TSH or a T3 or free T3 or free T4. But what else is there? You mentioned there were other things that you measured. Do you measure the antibody levels in the blood?
I do, and this is a routine test that can be done at any laboratory. It's very common, particularly the TPO or thyroid peroxidase antibodies. That's usually the one for Hashimoto's. Now, there's a lot of overlap between Hashimoto's and Graves, and then there's thyroglobulin antibodies. Those I check on everybody that walks in the door, and I would argue that should be part of any workup for anyone being considered for thyroid dysfunction. And the reason is that these antibodies, we know, come out about 5 or so years before actual destruction happens and someone needs to potentially go on supplemental thyroid hormone. I mean, this is any types of antibodies. When, like I wrote about in my book, The Autoimmune Solution, I talked about a spectrum, and there's these antibodies that can come out up to 5 years before the disease actually manifests itself. And so I've helped many people reverse autoimmune conditions and get their antibodies lower or even reverse them completely. So if we know about that before somebody even has to go, before there's been enough damage to the thyroid that they need supplemental thyroid hormones, we can often prevent that from even being the case. And the antibodies for Graves' disease specifically are for the receptor, and those are a little more esoteric, and people don't typically, those can be harder to get. But all of these are things that do not need to be done by a special type of doctor. Your primary care doctor, frankly, can run these through any laboratory. So they're very easily accessible and easy to run and, come back literally the next day. So,
and then we can find out in the Thyroid Connection or how actually to try and manage the thyroid antibody issue and to decrease it. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, the book is half how to work with your doctor and make sure you're getting the right diagnosis and the right test and the right treatment. And the other half of the book is a 28-day program of how actually to get to the root cause of why you got this in the first place and reduce it. And I walk through, five sort of different factors. But for thyroid in particular, giving up gluten, and you would ask, how do you get those antibodies down? I see people giving up gluten and these antibodies plummet. And it is through a process called molecular mimicry. Our thyroid gland molecules look so similar to the gluten molecule that when we have a disruption in the gut barrier and that gluten gets through, our immune system sees it, goes to attack it because it knows it's foreign, and sometimes inadvertently through mistaken identity can inadvertently attack the thyroid because of this concept called molecular mimicry, where the two molecules look so similar to one another. So changing the diet, particularly giving up gluten, is one of the first steps. And then, of course, healing that gut that is permeable or leaky, allowing food and infections and things to come through. There are a number of infections that have been also through this process of molecular mimicry thought to be the underlying cause of why of thyroid dysfunction. Yersinia or Yersinia has been implicated in Hashimoto's and Graves. Of course, we talked about the toxins with the halides and the endocrine disruptors and the plastics and the beauty products. And then stress, I mean, that's a big one for suppressing people's immune system and disrupting their endocrine system and their thyroid. And I have a very specific plan to sort of reset stress and recover from stress in the book as well. So, I mean, I think I do a good job of giving you enough information to know this is something to pay attention to, but most of the book is really action-oriented for things to help you, you know, recover from your thyroid dysfunction.
We've been talking with Dr. Amy Myers, M-Y-E-R-S. The book is called The Thyroid Connection, Why You Feel Tired, Brain Fogged, and Overweight, and How to Get Your Life Back. It goes into the basics of lifestyle changes to make, to try and get your life back, in addition to the appropriate dose and what you should work with your doctor to get your life back so that you don't have the thyroid connection problem anymore. This is podcast 808 from You, the Owner's Manual radio show. I'm Dr. Mike Roizen, and just like Dr. Amy Myers, superb guests we have next week is Dr. Michael Bruce, The Power of When. That is, learn your chronotrope so you know when to eat lunch, when to ask for a raise, when to have sex, and a whole bunch of other whens, that is, what to do. Remember our key stories this week, the happiest states in America and what made them happy. The hunger in our heads, why, after an intellectual conversation, even doing intellectual activity like just listening to this, you should walk for at least 10 minutes or do some other exercise for 10 minutes so you don't overeat, and how the sugar industry shifted the blame to fat and why some fats are good as well as most sugar added is bad. And Amy also Myers is a great author. The other book, The Autoimmune Solution, was wonderful as well. Let me talk to you a little bit about next week. We're going to talk about, are there too many antibiotics in your fast food, meat, and in hospitals? The Wellness Foreplay, why a specific inhibitor cuts fracture risks in women and what you can do about that. And happy holidays, are pumpkin spice lattes really bad for you? The answer, yes, how to make them healthier. That's what we'll talk about. And the women's health issue no one talks about, as well as with Dr. Michael Bruce, The Power of When. Thanks for listening to You, the Owner's Manual radio show and podcast. Remember, a new one every 7 a.m. Tuesdays. Thanks for listening.